Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. The Bible says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Let's pray tonight. Father, we do thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come to your house. Thank you for the safety you give us on the way here. And Lord, I just want to thank you for my church family. Lord, thank you for just the uniqueness of our church and how you've brought different people here and different personalities, Lord, and just made them a body of Christ. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight. Lord, help me as I do the best I can to bring your word, Lord, and I want to be a blessing to the people. And God, I don't want to say anything I shouldn't. And Lord, I pray that you just help my tongue and help me to just glorify you in everything that's done tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And in Jesus' name, amen. Let's look at verse number 9. The Bible says, "By faith he sojourns," talking about Abraham, "in the land of promise." So we can tell from this that this is the land that Abraham is supposed to be in. This is a land of promise, all right? This is his land. But if you'll notice the next phrase, the Bible says, "as in a strange country," as in a strange country, "dwelling in tabernacles." That tabernacle basically means a movable house, if you would, okay? If you remember, the tabernacle of God was basically a big tent, okay? And so that's what Abraham dwelled in. "Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise." Why did he feel like he was in a strange country? Why did he dwell in tabernacles? We see that in verse number 10. "Why? For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Why did Abraham sojourn as in a strange country? Why did Abraham dwell in tabernacles, movable house, always moving? Why? Because Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And I've got kind of a weird title. It's a one-word title. I kind of got weird titles most of the time. I want to talk to you tonight about this: preppers. Preppers. Now, some of you are like, some of you know what I'm talking about. And some of you have no clue. You're looking at me like, what's a prepper? Okay? I will tell you, all right? In today's society, there are many subcultures. Most of you understand what a subculture is. It's a group of people that come together with a certain set of ideals, a certain set of principles. Sometimes they even have a system in which they communicate and deal with each other, okay? That's a subculture. But in today's society, there are different subcultures. One of these subcultures is a group of people that prepare for something that may happen and something that may never happen. But they prepare for that. They are called preppers, okay? There is a wide range of what people prep for, okay? And if you've messed at any at all with what I'm talking about and have looked into any at all, there are some pretty wild things out there that people prepare for. There are people that think the government is going to, it's a conspiracy theory, that the government is going to overthrow us. And because as the people, Brother Harding taught us, we are what makes America. And they say that the government's going to overthrow us. And so they're preparing for the government to come attack them. Those are preppers. There are groups of people out there that they believe that very shortly we are going to get attacked by a foreign power. And they are right now, as we speak, literally, and I'm not kidding. I am telling you the truth. They are preparing for an attack, an invasion by a foreign power. There are people out there that believe that there will be something called an EMP, Brother Harding referred to it, and of all of them, I say this is probably the most probable. An EMP is electromagnetic pulse. It could be a nuclear bomb detonated over our atmosphere, sends electromagnetic particles to the earth, and basically wipes out anything electronic, any electrical system, anything. It also could be a solar flare, could be something that comes from the sun, could not be a foreign power. But basically, it wipes out anything electrical, so your cars don't run, et cetera, et cetera. All right? Your lights would go out, no electricity. People prep for that. There are people that are prepared for that to happen. Then that goes, that's kind of the things that actually could possibly happen. All those things really could happen. Then there's those that, you know, they're on the other spectrum. All right? They think that there's like a zombie apocalypse coming. They paint all their vehicles neon lime green. You know, it's the zombie response squad, okay? Those are preppers, okay? So in a sense, you really don't want to be necessarily called a prepper because that could mean a lot of different stuff, okay? But at the same time, I think there are, now I wouldn't call myself a prepper, okay? But I think there are things that you should do and you should be aware of that could possibly happen, all right? And that could, and I'm not talking about this tonight, so don't be like, oh, Brother Chad's going to go in this conspiracy theory thing. I'm just talking about preparation. That's all I'm talking about tonight is preparation. But there are things that could happen. Brother Chad, what's the likelihood of any of this stuff? Well, let's say, for instance, Brother Harding, and this is there's parts of the government that they've actually designated to deal with these things, okay? Literally. An EMP strikes. Within 30 seconds, our whole country is in Great Depression, pre-Great Depression era. Literally. No electricity. What do you do when you can't go to the grocery store? You ever think about it? What do you do when you can't cook? What do you do when you have no water? Because if you're on city water, as Brother Harding said, within a, you know, you flush your toilet once and you're out of water. What do you do? And there are people that they've thought through all these scenarios and they've gone through everything in their mind and they've prepared. There are people out there, and I'm not kidding, there are people out there that their whole basement is full of military MREs. They're going to live for the next unforeseeable future on an MRE. It's a military ready-to-eat meal, okay? One of those little packaged meals that the soldiers eat. Now, personally, I don't want to live the rest of my life on MREs, all right? I don't have the money to go buy a basement full of MREs, okay? And I wouldn't if I could. Some people, they've got 20 years of ramen in their basement, okay? And it's pretty silly. When you start, it's like, oh, really? Okay? There's people, and I've read about them, okay? Literally, there's people that have hundreds, I'm not talking about thousands of rounds of ammunition. I've got thousands of rounds of ammunition. That's just normal stuff, okay? I'm literally talking about hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition. And you know, they got three guns to shoot it all through. That's real intelligent, all right? A lot of this stuff, they don't think through certain processes that has to happen, okay? But they're preppers. They are prepared for what would come, all right? They've got their vehicles, as I said, you know, painted neon green. And they've probably got CBs in their vehicles, you know, watching for people that are walking around kind of weird, all right? And reporting people to each other. Brother Chad, that's silly. That's crazy. I know, okay? I know it's kind of way out there. But that stuff does exist. There are people out there, and there are people out there that spend their life preparing for something that probably will never happen. There are people out there that spend their fortune, everything that they would make in life, preparing for something that very well could never happen. There are people that leave family, home, friends, and go out and buy a shipping container and go bury it in the ground and live in it for the rest of their lives because of who knows what reason. They are out there, okay? I've seen pictures of their homes. They got some pretty cool ideas, though. I must say, they got, it's like, man, I never thought you could do that with a shipping container, all right? But those people are out there. They're called preppers. Preppers. You say, Bro Chad, you've said your spill about preppers, okay? And I think most of it's ridiculous. I will say this. This is just a kind of side note. In my mind, the Amish, and you may have your qualms about Amish, but if something bad would happen to our nation as far as our economy collapses, I've told several people, I talked a man yesterday here in the church, and I talked to somebody today about it. You may have your qualms about Amish, but I don't believe in the way they think they're going to get to heaven. But it, aside from the salvation fact, honestly, I could probably go believe Amish today. See, you would do without a phone in a heartbeat. You would do without television? Absolutely. In a heartbeat. You want to challenge me on that? You drive through Linton on a weekday night, and you look at the kids walking through Linton, and then you go drive down through Montgomery and Washington Country, and you tell me the difference. That's just a side note about, but the Amish, they could live, and they have a better way of living. But anyway, that's a side note. And if I was going to do something, that would be the type of living where you take care of your family. You take care of each other, all right? It's not about building a bunker in case of a nuclear attack, because really I don't think it's going to, you know, your little storage container is really going to save you a whole lot. But anyway. Okay, Brother Chad, you've said your spill about preppers. But let me remind you today, we all prepare for something. Every one of us do. Just recently, on August, whatever it was, someday, preacher said we're going to have a two-mile run. What did he announce that? Like the beginning of the year. That was his two-mile run. He's like, we're all going to prepare for this. And I'm like, all right. We'll be ready for this. So we get like 2 months in advance. Now, I'm not out to, I don't care if I win the race. Or it wasn't really a race, I guess. I don't care if I win it. But I want to run it. I want to run 2 miles. And I know me. I know that I probably, it's not that I couldn't run 2 miles, just straight out of the box, straight out of the chute, but I'd be pretty well shot, Brother John, at the end of that 2 miles, okay? And I didn't want to come straggling, water, you know, at the end of 2 miles. So, a month or two before, I started running a mile a couple times a week, and I did it. And then, about the month before, I started running 2 miles. I was running 2 miles easy, real easy. Then I started running 3 miles. I was running 3 miles a couple times a week at night. So, you know, when his whole thing came and, you know, it's time to run, you know, I'll run. You know, so would it have been a big deal? Let me ask you this. Would it have been a big deal for me to run 2 miles? No, I've been running 3 for 2 weeks. Okay, so it's no big deal. Then he's like, wow, we're just going to run a mile today. A mile? Just a mile? So for the last 2 months, I've been preparing to run 2 miles, and we're running a mile? Okay, yeah, well, let's run a mile. Let's run it 3 times, all right? You know, and in a way, you know, you say, Bert Chad, were you disappointed? Psh, yeah. I was disappointed. You say, why were you disappointed? Because I prepared for something. But you know what? On the other hand, what if he would have said, all right, we're running 2 miles. Now, I don't know if everybody, I don't even remember everybody that ran. But I don't know that if everybody that did run the 1 mile would have been in real good shape after 2. They did okay with the 1. But because they didn't prepare, would you have done okay with 2? Would you have done okay with 3? Well, it all comes back to preparation. I was prepared for it, so it wasn't that big a deal that we didn't do it, but I was prepared for it. I remember Brother Reiser, when I don't remember if it was junior or senior, he came to me one day, he's like, hey, we're going to this youth conference, and we're doing this, the thing is like contending for the faith, and we're going to have this like boxing tournament, and I'd really like you to box in this boxing tournament. I'm like, I'm not a fighter type, you know, I'm just kind of, you know, I'll do what I have to, but I'm just not to get out in front of everybody and just box, okay? He's like, I really want you. I was like, all right, I'll do it. So I had for several months before that, I had a guy. I'd go out after church and had a guy, and he was teaching me to box. After church, you guys would be all in here fellowshipping. I'm out in the cafeteria boxing, all right? And he was teaching me. He was teaching me the stance. He was teaching me timing. He was teaching me punches. All right? I'd go out in my dad's barn, and I'd put on a pair of leather gloves. I didn't have a boxing bag. Yes, that was what called punching bag, whatever. I didn't have one. All right? And I'm not going to spend $100 for something I'm going to use one time in my life. So I just got a couple hay bales. All right?
So I strung him up from the barn ceiling, and I spent a lot of time out there just hitting a hay bale, round and round and round. I did my push-ups, all right? I did my sit-ups, all right? I ran to build my stamina. Man, I was ready to box, and then I blew my shoulder out the first, like, round. I've never been the same since then. Just going, like, talking me into doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. My mom, I think she was pretty happy that I did it, because the whole time she's like, when I'm getting ready to do this, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. So now I think she's like, I told you so. If you wouldn't have done that, you wouldn't have got hurt. But you know what? You know what I did? I was preparing. At the same time, you know, you got out in that boxing ring. You didn't know who you was facing. You know, it could have been the, you know, world championship middleweight for all I know. I don't know who this guy is. Lucky for me, it was Steven Russ, all right? I literally, Ed Russ is standing there in the corner, and he pulls me over to the side, and he's like, hey, you're going to kill him. Take it easy. Sorry, I just hit the dude, all right? But we all prep for something, all right? We prepare for things. You know, you prepare for work. Guys, if you know you got a job coming up, you know, you prepare. My truck is pretty much prepared for anything. We could go out and I could build you a house with the tools in my truck, or I could kill you a deer and cook you a steak in 30 minutes, whatever. I mean, whatever you want to do, we're ready to. It's like the Swiss Army truck, all right? It's like you pull out different stuff and it's got everything in it, all right? But I'm prepared for work. Whatever you ask guys that work with me, and there's not a whole lot. I mean, if I have a tree fall down, I just get the chainsaw out of the truck and cut it up. I mean, I carry a lot of stuff because I'm prepared for it. I know what now, if there's some jobs, I have to take extra things. I have to take extra tools. But I take the tools that prepare me for work. You're prepared for test. You prepare for test. My first test, you can ask Mrs. Bovenshin or Brother Reiser, my first test of every subject every year was probably my worst grade in that subject for the year because I didn't know how to prepare for the test. Because every grade you'd go to is a different, they're set up a little bit different. You didn't know quite how it was. But once you got it, you could prepare for it. Let me just say this, and you may not like this, young people, and some of you parents may not like this, but the difference between young people that excel at their schoolwork and those that don't, most of the time has nothing to do with brain power. It has more to do with preparation and hard work. You have a kid that barely passes every test, I can about guarantee you go back to the preparation they had for that test, and there's little to none, no preparation. You take a young person, in my mind it never made sense. I could take 2 hours and prepare for a test, or I could take 2 weeks and retake the test. Personally, I'd rather take 2 hours and prepare for the test. But you can ask Miss Brother Young and Miss Patty about that, and that's true. More about preparation than brain power. Ladies, maybe it's preparing for company. You've got somebody coming over and you want the house perfect, don't you? You want it all clean and nice, and you'd be mortified, you know, if one of your kids did something in the bathroom and then you had guests over and they're going into the bathroom and they come out and say, you know, did you know you had a problem? And, you know, there's toothpaste all over the sink or, you know, whatever. You'd be mortified. You want everything. You want to be prepared. You want to be prepared. Maybe it's for a game. Preparing for a game. We never really played athletics, but I remember when we was in high school, like me and Brother Nathan and Brother Levi, some of the guys, we played. We actually had enough guys that we could play basketball, and we played the men of the church. I'm sure some of you guys remember that. And I remember we prepared for that game as much as we could prepare. But, you know, we prepared for that game. We did our drills. We played basketball. We did everything we could to prepare for that game. Maybe it's preparing for a trip. Mrs. Ross, I'm sure, has done lots of preparation. Preacher did lots of preparation for his elk trip, okay? Because the last thing you want to do is him be out there on his elk trip and, you know, 100 miles from anything and he forgot to pack his ammunition. So I'm sure he checked that multiple times. I don't know about you. I've always got this sinking feeling when I go to like some place you got to have a ticket that I forgot my ticket at home. You know, you go to a ball game and, you know, I'll check my wallet 20 times to make sure I have the ticket in it because I want to be prepared when I get there. I mentioned all of these things because I think that somewhere I'm trying to strike a chord with you. Somewhere I want you to think of something that you have had to be prepared for at some time in your life. Because everyone has had to be prepared for something. Everyone has. I don't like the feeling of being unprepared. Going to a test and knowing that I didn't study the way I should have. It's a feeling of being unprepared. Going someplace and not knowing what tools I need to bring. It's a feeling of being unprepared. Soldiers that go onto the battlefield, they want to know that they have been prepared properly for what they're about to face. So everyone is being prepared. We're told that Abraham sojourned in a land as though it was a foreign country. Why? Why did he sojourn? Because he was looking forward to a city that would be his home forever. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. This world's not my home. This world is a preparation for my home. Abraham, the land of promise, wasn't Abraham's home, but he was preparing for a city whose foundation was created by God. He was prepping for heaven. I want to talk to you tonight about that, prepping, preppers, or prepping for heaven. My primary question tonight would be this: Abraham felt out of place and uncomfortable in this world. Do you? Is this an uncomfortable place for you? Or is this your home? We all have a home, place that we called home. But is this your home? Abraham lived his life preparing to live in heaven. What are you doing? I took three things, three very simple things. First two I want to go quickly through. The last one I just want to spend just a few moments on. And I'll get you out here soon. I know we had communion and everything, and it's getting close to time, but I'll go through this quickly. Prepared language, your prepared language. When you get to heaven, are you going to be able to say anything? Will you be able to say anything? Or are you going to have to be quiet? Because of what you've said here on earth, what your conversation is here on earth, can you say anything? Or will everyone be speaking a foreign language? If I was going to live in Mexico, what would be helpful that I learned? The language. If I'm going to heaven, what would be helpful for me to learn? Heaven's language. I'm afraid that all of us are going to do a lot less talking in heaven than what we do here. Eliminate all the things that you would talk about that you don't think will be talked about in heaven. You won't talk about gossip in heaven. You won't talk about sin, yours or others' sin in heaven. You won't talk about worrisome things in heaven. So why do you talk about them here? Let me ask you this. If Moses come up to you, what would you say to Moses? What would your conversation be? I come up to one of you and we have a conversation, but what would it be with Moses? The Apostle John comes up and he looks at you and says, hi. And then he just waits. He's looking there at you. What would your conversation be? Would you know how to talk to the Apostle John? What would your conversation be? Better yet, Jesus comes up to you. And he looks at you, piercing through your soul. You can't tell a lie to him. What would you say to him? What would you say to him? Could you carry on? Let me ask you this. Could you carry on an intellectual conversation with a saint in heaven? Or is all of our conversation so worldly based and so carnal that we don't even know how to talk spiritual things? Could you even talk to Moses? Or would you hide your face and duck down an alley because you have nothing to say to him? Could you talk to Jesus? Or is all you're going to do is try to hide in the midst of the crowd and, you know, worship him? Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man. I'm going to be 10 things very fast. Bro Chad, how can I have a prepared language? Speak sparingly. You're going to recognize these after a moment, all right? Amen. And you should. If you don't, there's a problem. Speak sparingly. Speak only after thinking. Speak honestly. Speak with grace. Speak only acceptable words. Speak appropriately. Speak respectfully. Never speak evil of another person. Never praise yourself. Speak the gospel boldly. Amen. I think if you could master those 10, you'd be in pretty good shape to at least carry on somewhat of a conversation in heaven. Is your language prepared? Do you have a prepared language? Number two, your prepared way of life. Could Jesus come back, take us all to heaven, and pick up, and you pick up life and be just as happy in heaven as you are right now? Could you do without your television? Could you do without your phone? Could you do without your friends? Could you do without your job? Although I have thought, I kind of hope that God, like, once I'm in heaven, you know, I can, like, do maintenance or farm or something. I'm not saying it's going to be boring. I get tired of sitting at a supper table real long, so just saying. Could you do without your habits? Could you do without your habits? Let me ask you this. Would your dress fit in? Right now, bam, God takes us to heaven. Now, there's the whole, you know, what is it? What's the book series? Left Behind, you know, everybody's clothes are left. And that could be very true. I have no clue. Because I do know we get new garments. But if God took, if you were seen in heaven this past week wearing what you were one day of the week, would you fit in? You fit in the world, that's obvious. And we try to fit in the world. That's why we do it. But if you got, remember, folks, this is not our home. We're looking for a city to come. Are you living to blend in with this world or the city to come? Are you dressing to live in this world or the city to come? Are you talking to fit in this world or the city to come? Who are you prepping for? What are you prepping for? Will you drink in heaven what you drink here? Will you eat in heaven what you eat here? Brother Chad, what are you talking about? You know what? It kind of irritates me, and this is another side note. But you know, gluttony is mentioned as much in the Bible as a lot of other sins that we preach on, but we never mention gluttony. You know, God does care about what you put in your body. And I'm guilty of this. Man, I love Mountain Dew. But it's really probably not real good for me. Okay? And there, you know, you get the big old pizza from Casey's, you know, that Karen makes over there. Man, she does a great job. All right? I know her by name. I worked with her husband. He's a nice guy. But she makes good pizzas. And man, I could sit down and eat like 3/4 of that thing when I really only need like a half. Two pieces. I could, but you know, that's not good for me. Are you going to do that in heaven? All right? Just giving you some things. Last thing, and I really want your hearts at this last one. Your prepared language, your prepared way of life, your prepared heart, your prepared heart. I think the thing that probably scares me most about a church like this is a great church. But the problem is, and I have nobody in mind tonight, and I promise you that. But for 3 months, this message has been on my heart. What would terrify me most is that in this room tonight, and without a doubt in my mind, there are sitting in this room tonight people whose hearts are not prepared. Statistically, I am correct. Biblically, look at me, folks. I am correct. You say, Brother Chad, are you trying to make me doubt my salvation? No. I believe that if you are truly saved, that the Holy Spirit will reassure you of your salvation. I think the men and ladies in here and the young people that are saved, there is something unusual and unexplainable when you get saved. There is. I want you to turn to Matthew 25, chapter 25. I want to read this parable, and I'll read it quickly. I'm aware of your time. I do know we had communion, and I will try to hurry. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And they went, when they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready, did you see that? And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Some people would say, Brother Chad, that's a 50% ratio. Yeah, 50%. Brother Chad, but that's talking about Christians and the world. I don't think so. You've got 10 of the same people. 10 that all profess that they knew the bridegroom. What are the 5 that say that we're outside? Lord, Lord. 50%? I'm not saying that's true here. But I am saying it's not 100. Now don't get everybody go crazy on me. I'm just telling you what the Holy Spirit is convicting me. I mean, I said 3 months, and I'm not kidding. I've had this on my heart for 3 months. I don't know why. But this is Bible. All right? 10 of the same people, 10 people that all said they believed the bridegroom was coming. 10 people that all made an effort. They all initially went. But 5 had oil, 5 did not. Oil is representative in the Bible of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, you can go to church your whole life. But you're not prepared. You can do whatever, but you're not prepared. No one stole, listen to this, no one stole the oil from the 5. They made a conscious choice not to bring it. They came unprepared. But Brother Chad, I'm a good person. Good people can be unprepared. But I go to church. Church people can be unprepared. But I've been on teen soul winning, and Brother Chad, I've even led someone to Christ. A soul winner could even be unprepared. But everyone thinks I'm saved, Brother Chad. But are you? I didn't ask if everyone thinks you're saved. Are you prepared? The biggest lie the devil will try to someone that's grown up in church. Now listen to this, folks. The biggest lie that the devil will try to tell someone that's grown up in church or been going to church is that everyone already thinks you're saved, and that will be embarrassing to get saved. There are people in this auditorium right now that would probably stand and testify if I asked them to of that. My wife, I think she's in the nursery tonight. You remember, she got saved here. I'd been married to her. She led people to Christ. Are you listening to me, young people? She led people to Christ. But she was not prepared. What will you hear when you stand before God? What will your heart feel like? Let me ask you this. Will it be in the pit of your stomach, like it is when you're unprepared, like it possibly could be right now? That you know in your heart, as much as you want to tell yourself, there was this once, are you prepared? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Just flip back a few pages for me, please. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Luke chapter 13, this is the last place we're going. Luke chapter 13. Verse 23, then said one unto him, Lord, is there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. But when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Folks, I don't know, and I promise you, God's my witness, I have nobody in my mind. As far as I know, I pray that everyone's saved. But remember, straight is the gate, and few there be that find it. I cannot imagine a catastrophe that would be coming within the next year. I know a catastrophe is coming in the next year. Within a matter of months, there will be something that wipes out our entire electrical grid. I've already taken steps to prepare for it. I know what I'll do when it happens. Everything is lined up. And I come tell you about it. I come tell you about it. And you don't do anything. In my mind, some of these things I've talked about, like the EMP, a lot of families in this church, whether you believe, Brother, you just think Brother Chad's some guy that just stands over there real quiet and fixes stuff. I've lost sleep thinking about families in our church and how I could help you if something bad happened to our country. I have. What could I do to help this family and their special need? What could I do to help this family or this person and their special need? I've given up sleep with that. I love my church family. I don't want to see anything bad happen to you. But worse than that is the feeling that knowing that some might stand before God unprepared for a catastrophe that's about to happen to them, being thrust out of heaven. I'd give my life for these people in this church if something bad happened in our country. But there's not anything I can do when we're standing in heaven and the book of life is open. My job at that point is done. I can't. I've prepared myself. I know my heart. I know I'm saved. All I can do is ask you, please, don't wait. Is your language prepared? Are you prepared to talk in heaven? Are you prepared to live in heaven? But most of all, this is probably very few, but there are some in here, I have no doubt in my mind. No doubt. Is your heart prepared to meet thy Maker? Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you've given to us. Thank you for this chance, this opportunity that you've given to hear your word one more time. And Lord, I hope that it helps somebody tonight. Lord, I know what it felt like to have people that think I'm saved and know that I'm not saved. I know what that felt like. I know the urge to go forward and the urge to go talk to my mom and dad and the urge to go see preacher, and I just didn't want to do it because I was afraid. Lord, I pray that if there is somebody tonight, and that they would be willing to get that right, to get saved. Lord, if it's not here tonight, Lord, that they'd find their mom and dad, or they'd find their preacher or somebody, and just talk to them and make sure that they're going to heaven. Lord, it's the last thing I want anybody to do is stand before you unprepared. Lord, help our speech to be prepared. Help my speech, Lord. I failed you in this. And Lord, I talk things that are a way of talking that sometimes wouldn't be acceptable in heaven. Help me to fix that. And Lord, I pray that my way of life would be more acceptable to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us. I pray that you just help us tonight and just guide us. And we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.